Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Divorce Girl Smiling Podcast. My name is Jackie Pilisoff. I'm your host. I'm the creator and editor-in-chief of Divorce Girl Smiling, a website, a podcast, and a mobile app. The beginning of the year, right after the first, is known as divorce season. Right after January 1st, everybody who has been considering getting divorced or waiting through the holidays, didn't want to spoil it for the kids, basically either files or calls a divorce attorney or calls a mediator and says, you know what, I think I want to get divorced. So that's why after January 1st, it's called divorce season. And to talk about mediation, which I believe is the best way to get divorced, which we're going to go into what it is and what the benefits are. I am sitting here with Ellen Feldman, who is a divorce mediator. Hi, Ellen.
Thanks for having me.
So Ellen and I are sitting at my kitchen table talking, recording this podcast, drinking green smoothies because we are trying to boost our immune systems, right?
Right, absolutely.
And be healthy. And we want to talk to you, everyone who's listening, about mediation. So Ellen has been a divorce mediator for 14 years with her partner, her business partner, Brian James, who has been in the business even longer than that, right, Ellen?
Exactly.
And Ellen is also an attorney. And before you became a mediator, Ellen, you were a litigator, an attorney, but not in the divorce arena.
Right.
And then decided to become a mediator.
I took the training. I wanted to focus on amicable ways to resolve conflict. I wasn't even thinking divorce at the time I took the mediation training, but it is a finite set of issues. It's easy to learn them. All my continuing legal education is in the divorce field, the finance field. And it's a way to really help people. I really wanted to help families and help them focus on their kids and get them through a horrible time.
Okay, so for people listening that are just in the beginning of your divorce, there's a few ways to get divorced. You can, if you're really, really amicable, hire a divorce attorney for the both of you, come to some conclusions, and you're done. Now, that doesn't happen to very many people. Second way to get divorced is to each hire your own divorce attorney, go to the court and let the judge make decisions on what's going to happen with your parenting schedule, your assets, your finances, and basically battle it out in court and let the judge make the decision. And then there's mediation. Ellen, tell me why mediation works and what's so good about it.
The best positive a reason to mediate is to improve communication, in my mind. You get to the point where you're done, you want to get divorced, you don't really want to talk, you don't know how to talk to each other, you're not really talking in a productive way, and mediation requires you to advocate for yourself and talk about what's important and focus on your children.
Okay, so you're talking about at the end of a marriage, communication is broken down. You're probably not even speaking to your ex. You can't even look at the person, whatever. This is teaching you, when you go to mediation, how to communicate not just during the divorce, but after.
Definitely.
So that you can live a life co-parenting and be good communicators, so it ends up being good for the kids, which is the number one thing, but also good for the people.
Absolutely.
You don't walk away angry saying, you know, I can't believe the judge sided with him on this one thing, and now I have to pay him $2,000 a month and do this, and then you're all bitter about it, and then you're not getting along because you're bitter about it, right? And Ellen's nodding, but Ellen, you have to say yes.
People have to focus on, I need to deal with this person for the rest of my life. People get divorced when their kids are really little. Mm-hmm. And it's not, you know, it's important decisions. It's, you know, does my kid need a tutor? Is my kid failing a subject? is my kid ever going to go to college? Is my kid in high school, in trouble doing, you need to be able to solve problems, communicate, and get through your kid's childhood in the best way possible, focusing on your child's best interests.
Okay, but also being a divorced mom of two kids, one is 18 and one is 20, I don't think even when your kids are older it ends, because I still talk to my ex-husband about issues we're having with our kids. So it's not even just for little kids. It's just even if you have adult children, there could be issues that come up that you would benefit if you're communicating with your former spouse.
Absolutely. But my biggest concern, yes, you're absolutely right. And people who say, I waited till my kids went off to college and then I said, okay, I'm done, I want to get divorced, you're still going to have issues.
Exactly.
They may have chosen the wrong college. You want to help them choose the right college. All those issues are much smoother, especially if you got divorced when your kids are little, mm-hmm. if you learn how to solve problems.
Right, because when your kids are little and you're getting a divorce, you're not thinking beyond. And I can say that because that happened to me. I got divorced and I thought, oh, I never have to talk to my ex again. My kids, there might be medical issues. There might be, what if your kid is unemployed and they're like 25, and they want to move in with one of you? Like, there's definitely things, even when they're older, to talk about. And I also think that when people get divorced, if they're willing to have a relationship just for the kids, they're happier people. They're just happier. There's not that toxicity and bitterness and anger towards your spouse because you got a divorce settlement you didn't really think was fair.
And it helps your kids, I believe, understand that they have two parents who really love them, as opposed to potentially living in a house with two people who are yelling and screaming at each other all the time because they can't stand being married.
All right, so other than improved communication, what are some other benefits of mediation?
Getting the settlement you want, as you said, as opposed to having a judge say, here's your parenting schedule. You get Monday, Tuesday, he gets Wednesday, Thursday. It's focusing on what are the kids' schedules? When do I need to be at work? When does he need to be at work? Does he or she travel for work? You are each other's backup. So the better you can focus on what's really the best schedule for the kids based on your schedules, the smoother and calmer it will be.
You're listening to the Divorce Girl Smiling Podcast with Jackie Pilisoff and my guest Ellen Feldman, who is a divorce mediator. And basically we're talking about the benefits of mediation. And Ellen, I love what you just said. So basically, you're not deciding what your divorce is going to be, but you have a huge say in it. So basically, you sit down in a room with Ellen and Brian, two mediators together, a woman and a man. They only charge one rate, hourly rate. Other mediation teams, you have to pay each person. Not the case with Ellen and Brian. You pay their fee, you sit down, you tell them your lifestyles, your needs, what each of you want, and they basically make suggestions to you, right, on what
Correct.
Is the best. And then you come to agreements, and this takes, quite a few sessions sometimes, sometimes not so much. You pay by the session, and then you come to an agreement, and you get divorced. Sounds awesome to me.
It's much better. It's much better for the families. It's much better for the couple. It's obviously much less expensive.
Much less expensive. You get divorced in a much shorter amount of time.
Correct.
And I want to make something else clear. So Ellen and Brian take on cases where people don't have attorneys, but they also take on cases if you have an attorney, you can use them, and then you can have your attorney just approve the settlement that you come up with and go to court for you.
Right. Then the attorney would just have to do the drafting based mm-hmm. on our agreement, which is called a memorandum of understanding. Then the attorney just needs to draft the parenting allocation judgment, which is the kid piece, and the marital settlement agreement, which is the financial piece.
So I feel like Ellen and Brian are kind of like peacemakers. Like, they're the ones who are drafting what your life after divorce is going to look like. You might not get every little thing you want, but you'll get what's, you hopefully, if you agree to everything in mediation, you get the things that are most important to you. Everything is not going to be perfect, but it's going to be, you know, kind of what you want, what you're willing to live with. And here's another good thing. You don't even have to sign for anything. If you go to mediation and then you go, this doesn't sound good to me, I don't want it, then go to litigation. But at least you can say you tried to do this amicably. And Ellen, let me ask you this. Out of all the cases that you have, how many say, you know what, we just couldn't come to an agreement, we have to go to litigation? What percentage?
I can't really quantify percentage, but very few cases fall apart. And it's usually because they, as Brian would say, draw their line in the sand and refuse to negotiate and think about different options. Mm-hmm. We don't say, here's a parenting plan, do you like it, do you not like it? We say, tell us about the kids' schedules, tell us about your needs, tell us about your schedules, let's come up with different options. What are you thinking about how this is gonna look for your kids? But really, the critical thing is that people need to be ready emotionally and the practical side.
Okay, so good segue into our next. Okay, so we're going to talk about how to prepare for divorce mediation, both emotionally and practically. And before we get into that, I do want to say one thing. If I was getting divorced and I needed a mediator, I would so trust and enjoy working with Ellen and Brian because I've known you guys for like a decade.
Definitely.
I mean, I used to write feature stories for the Pioneer Press / Chicago Tribune, and I wrote a story on Ellen and Brian, right? Is that how we met?
Correct.
Well, we met through our networking group.
Right.
But then I wrote a story on them, and I just, they would make me feel very safe. They would make me feel confident I was getting a good deal. And the thing is, you always take their agreement and show it to an attorney. So you don't have to worry because you got another set of eyes that are going to look it over and say, okay, I want to tweak this one little thing here. And then you know you have a solid contract, right, Ellen?
It's also fine if you talk to your lawyer while you're going through mediation. There are mediators who do a lot of attorney-assisted mediation. We don't, but we've done it. And from our perspective, we get the best agreements for our clients if you're in the room without your lawyer, because you're speaking for yourself.
But you can talk to them offline later in the day.
For sure.
And you know what? I remember doing that because I did go through mediation before I knew you when I was getting divorced. And I remember calling my attorney and saying, like, do you think this is a good deal? Should I take this? And then what the attorney would say is, well, if you go to court, this is what might happen. And then you're empowered, so you have all the information, and then you can say, you can weigh it out and say, do I take this or do I take my chances?
Absolutely.
And between the mediator and the lawyer, you're getting really good advice.
You're getting really good advice. You're getting options. We both have court experience, Brian and I, so we know what a judge is going to say. That's equitable. That's, you know, that's fair. That's appropriate. And we know what a judge is not going to sign off on.
You're listening to the Divorce Girl Smiling podcast with Jackie Pilisoff and my guest Ellen Feldman, a divorce mediator. And we're going to move on to how to prepare for divorce mediation emotionally and practically. I wrote on here physically. Should I change that? That might be a typo.
Practically.
Okay. Okay. So Ellen wrote this article for Divorce Girl Smiling that we're kind of going off of. So if you want to read it, go to divorcegirlsmiling.com, go to Trusted Partners and look up Ellen Feldman and Brian James. You'll see it's easy to find. You can find all of the articles they've written. All right, Ellen, tell me how to prepare for divorce mediation emotionally. What do you do first?
Well, I think the key issue is the couple needs to be at the same place emotionally, which is one of the benefits of mediation because we may need to slow one person down or speed one person up. We always say if your spouse wants to get divorced, you can't keep him or her married to you. That's not an option. But at least we can slow him down if he wants to move much faster than you do or speed you up to get to the place where you can handle going through the process.
Okay. All right, so they have to be at the same place. So if one woman, if the woman wants the divorce and the husband is still in denial, what do you do?
We talk through, I mean, unfortunately, in that circumstance, often the first session is blaming the other person. If you hadn't done this, if she hadn't done this, then we wouldn't be at this point. Looking for apologies, looking for ways to say, you know, let's try again, maybe. But I think getting them to the same place emotionally so that they can handle the process is sometimes problematic. And maybe it means taking a break. Maybe it means, you know what, this session isn't going so well, let's try again in a couple weeks. And maybe it just means, okay, I know this isn't going to be terribly productive, but if you need to talk about all the mean things that she did, let's do that today. And then remember, mediation is forward focused, and we need to get you to the next step, and
right.
We need to get you looking into the future and not dwelling on the past.
And Ellen and Brian aren't trying to be mean and saying, we don't want to listen to you or hear you, and we don't understand how you're feeling. They absolutely get it. They just don't want to charge you to sit and complain about what he or she did in the past that led you here. They're more focused on getting you divorced like a business deal and making sure that you are both happy with the outcome of your divorce.
Right. So a piece of the business deal part is, we understand it's emotional. We understand you don't want to be getting divorced and you're sad about it, or your partner, your spouse is sad about it. But if you look at mediation as a business deal, how do I parent my children in the most effective way? And let's talk about the finances in a way that a judge is going to sign off on them at the end. Then you're going to get through the process in a much better light.
Mm-hmm.
But another answer to your question about what do you do if people are at two different positions emotionally, have they explored therapy? Is there a way to say, you know, do you think you want couples counseling before you make this final decision and start the mediation process?
Right.
We are not trying to keep you married. You don't want to get divorced. Then we can send you to therapists or couples counselor, but we are not going to work on your marriage. That's not our job.
Got it. Okay. What else can you do to prepare for divorce mediation emotionally?
Make sure that you flesh out the reasons why they're there, and make sure that those aren't reasons to explore staying together. I mean, I really think the biggest issue is they have to both be at the same place
Okay. Emotionally
to go through the process.
Okay. What else? You wrote here, number three, another way in preparing for divorce mediation is understanding and coming to terms with the fact that mediation is like a business decision where emotions are checked at the door.
Right. So if you are just going to focus on why you're sad and why you want to stay married and why you wish you could fix things, it's not going to help you look at the details, the facts of what you need to accomplish to get through the process. So we know there are emotions involved. If you need to see a therapist while you're going through mediation, we can refer you to a therapist. If you, like I said, if they're not sure that they really want the process, then maybe a marriage counselor or couples counseling.
Mm-hmm.
But really to make sure that the emotions are not part of the things that we are discussing and the things that they are coming to agreements on.
Okay, great. So as far as being emotionally prepared for divorce, we've gone over a few things. What about practically?
I think doing your homework ahead of time so that you have perhaps looked at documents, you know what's in your bank accounts, you know if you have retirement accounts, you know if your spouse has retirement accounts, collect the documents.
Okay, but Ellen, didn't you tell me that you and Brian give them like forms that will make it easy for them to figure out what they have, what their assets are, what their spending habits are, and things like that?
We give them a financial affidavit that is required in all states, but for sure in the state of Illinois. So that helps you with the budgeting piece. that you just mentioned, and also we give them a list of documents.
Okay, so Ellen and Brian make it really easy for you. So I think I remember you saying that on their first visit or before, you give them this paperwork to fill out. And the reason I'm so familiar with this, Ellen, is because I just called my financial planners and asked them to do another plan for me because it's been several years since I did one. And a lot of things in my life are different. And this is what they told me to fill out. So they made me look at all my expenses. They made me list all of my assets. And then they're going to kind of go through it and then kind of give me a picture of, am I spending too much? Could I be spending more if I wanted to? Can I afford this? Can I afford this? Can I not afford this? I mean, having these documents, which are the same for someone like me who's already divorced, doing another financial plan, or someone who's just getting divorced, it's kind of the same thing, right?
It's the same exact process. Mm-hmm. I mean, many people weren't the ones who took care of the finances. They have no idea what the mortgage might be. They have no idea what they spend on groceries. They've never looked at their credit card bill to add up what they really spend in a month on, you know, what is cable cost? What do grocery store cost? What are the other expenses in the house? So if once they fill out the financial affidavit and collect the documents for us, which include the last 3 months of bank statements, the mortgage, what are you paying a month for the mortgage, which goes into one of the things we're going to discuss in terms of, can you afford to keep the house?
Who wants to keep the house?
Exactly.
Okay, and also, don't you feel like showing the proof of it makes people not only accountable, meaning, I didn't realize this was this much, but also no one can hide anything and no one can lie.
Well, and it helps them understand the facts. So often someone says, I'm keeping the house. The kids are little, I'm keeping the house. I need to be in the house, and they have no idea whether they can afford it. So collecting the documents, filling out the financial affidavit, which is a pain. You know, it's what you're going through now to get a new financial plan. What does it really cost to do all the things I do in a month? And then we can look at it and say, maybe you can't spend that much money on clothes for yourself.
Okay, now I would like to interject and just say one thing. What Ellen and I are talking about seems really intimidating, and I get it because I just went through it. But I have to tell you, Ellen, it only took me, I'd say, an hour or two at the most. Different times, like I'd put it away and then I'd go, oh, I forgot to add this in, and I'd go back to it later. So it took a few days, but really it didn't take very long. So I don't want people to be intimidated by this. And I also want to say, whether you do litigation or mediation, you're going to have to do this anyway.
Correct.
For your lawyer. So this isn't like an extra step from mediation. All Ellen and Brian are doing is they're taking this information and helping you come up with some scenarios that are fair.
We really cut the homework down compared to what, if you go to a lawyer and say, I want to get divorced, they're going to require many more months of credit card statements, you know, bank statements, bills, proof of the tax returns. We require 3 years.
Why? Because there's less trust?
It's just the process. It's the it's the discovery process. Yes, less trust. That's a perfect reason, because you're going to a lawyer who is trying to, I shouldn't say trick the other person, but get the other person to be in an adversarial relationship with your client.
Right. It's more litigious.
Exactly.
It's a fight.
Right. And our goal is, let's get all the information out. You need to trust each other so that you know that he or she is producing everything that they're supposed to produce. But then the financial affidavit, we might say, you might not be able to do that anymore. That might be too expensive. Maybe you need to rent. Maybe you can't refinance the house right away in your own name. Let us give you some mortgage people you can talk to. Let us give you a realtor to say, here's what I think your house is worth if you were going to sell it. Sometimes people need to decide that they're selling the house.
All right, I have several things to say, and we're not running out of time, but I want to say this quick. If you're sitting here listening to this and this is appealing to you, you can go on Divorce Girl Smiling and find all of these resources that will help you. For example, the person doing the financial plan for me is Vester Capital, Elaine Moss and Pete Mullins, and they did my first financial plan and they're doing it now again for me, and they're amazing. The second person is if you need a mortgage banker to talk about getting a mortgage, do you qualify? Tammy Wolenzak is a certified divorce lending professional. And then if you need a real estate agent, Leslie Glazer, who was my real estate agent, is a certified divorce real estate specialist. So there you go. We got a whole team on Divorce Girl Smiling that can help you.
Absolutely.
Okay, we're moving on to other ways to prepare for the divorce mediation process practically. And then you wrote here, Ellen, consult with an attorney. Tell me about that.
So I don't want people to, I am a lawyer, I'm biased. I don't want you to come into the mediation process not understanding what might happen if you go to court. I want you to know, obviously, we calculate spousal support if that's appropriate. We calculate child support, we get pay stubs, but you need to be, it's part of educating yourself, like all the professionals you just mentioned, quite honestly. I mean, what do the finances look like? We give names of people who will look at the retirement accounts, look at what you might get if you get divorced, what your piece of retirement accounts might be, what you would be able to afford with the child support, with the spousal support, to be able to actually advocate for yourself in the mediation process. If you are empowered by speaking to a lawyer to know what that process is going to look like if you go to court, you're going to be much better able to advocate for yourself in mediation.
Okay, and then another thing you wrote here, think about your children's daily schedules and their individual personalities. What might it be like for them to go back and forth between houses? Might they be better at one house for school nights? Would it be less stressful or disruptive for them? So I love this, Ellen, because what you're doing is you're helping people realize that if you go to a judge, the judge is not going to take all those things into consideration. The judge is going to have 2 minutes and say, okay, here's what I think based on what I know. And you and Brian are going to take the time to really listen to the kids' needs, the parents' needs, what makes sense, and then make suggestions.
Right. And if they are just, I mean, a judge is going to require you to try mediation for the parenting plan.
Oh, right.
But I think the bottom line is you need to know your children before you can discuss parenting schedules. Mm-hmm. If you know that your child is going to be anxious, you know, sleeping at dad's during the week because the homework might be at mom's or the science project might be at mom's or just the favorite blanket might be at mom's for a little kid, then maybe, you know, the weekday nights need to all be with one parent or the other. So that's where you look at what's your work schedule, what's his or her work schedule, what's going to be best for our children, and try to take your needs, your emotions, how's it going to feel that I don't have my child at my house tucking him or her into bed every night? What's really best for my child?
Right. I love it. It's so much better that way. Okay, in closing, Ellen, thank you so much for being on the show.
My pleasure.
If you want to reach Ellen, you can go to CELandAssociates.com, Google it or look it up online, or go to Divorce Girl Smiling and look under Trusted Partners. Ellen and Brian are certainly very, very much trusted partners, know them well, think they do a great job. And I want to wish everybody a happy new year. If you were just getting through the holidays and you're one of the many, many countless people who are starting the divorce process in divorce season, I want to wish you all the best and tell you that it's not going to be easy. It's a tough road, but a couple things. With a really good attitude of, I need to be patient. I know this isn't going to be easy. This is going to be emotional. That's the first thing, be patient. And secondly, what Ellen and I have been talking about, empower yourself. Because the more you know about different things, the better and the smoother it will be and the better decisions you'll make. So empower yourself by talking to as many professionals as possible and learning. I know it's intimidating. I know it's confusing. It's hard to understand, but you got this. You're smart, you're capable, and you can get through it. So with that said, thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you real soon. If you want to learn more, go to divorcegirlsmiling.com.